So here we are, Tribune Bite Size, the morning after, the night before. Myself, Stephen Minkowski, I'm joined by Ross Dunbar. Hi, Ross, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, how are you? I'm
very well. We're sitting in a lovely little park next to Bond University right now. No rain as of yet, but it's also not too chilly, so... Anyway, let's talk about Leverkusen, because that's where you were last night. I was covering the game from the office, and... It was eventful, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's we talked about it actually just before we came on air, that it's interesting how the narrative in football can change so quickly, because I thought Leverkusen were pretty poor for the first hour, but last 20 minutes, I thought they were excellent, and if Poyan Paolo scores, it's 3-3. We're talking about a very, very different game. 4-2, I think it's pretty much game over for Leverkusen, but yeah, it was a fantastic game, and I think Leverkusen, again, we saw the same problems that have kind of blighted their season so far. If you look at all of the goals that Atletico scored, and by the way, I don't think I've seen a more electrifying team on the counter-attack. They are phenomenal.
Madrid's
so good, yeah, phenomenal. But I don't know if it was down to star quality or whether it was down to a lot of Leverkusen mistakes. I'm kind of quite inclined to go for the latter, because we've seen it so many times this year. If you look at all of the goals, very high-risk defending, where Gamero and Griezmann were up against Toprak and Dragovic, and there was two huge spaces in the fullback areas.
Gamero was outstanding.
Yeah, he was brilliant. I mean, we'll talk about both of them later, but I thought they were the two best players on the pitch by far. But yeah, I mean, again, this kind of high-risk nature of Schmidt's defending.
Yeah.
You can't really do that in the Champions League, and I don't really recall many teams in Champions League history that have gone on and really succeeded at this level without having really strong foundations at the back. So
it was weird, because, yeah, you're right, a lot of it was kind of the same old with Leverkusen, where, I mean, on this podcast before, we've talked, and I was ranting about it last night on Twitter. I was saying, Henriks and Wendel just simply aren't fullbacks. I think John was making good points. Like, they're basically wingers, and they are. Neither of them can really defend. And they've been caught out at the Bundesliga level. So to play against a team like Atletico Madrid, who were in the Champions League final a few years ago, could have won the whole thing. You know, it was kind of crazy. But the interesting thing was that it wasn't just your usual Leverkusen, you know, dodgy at the back. It was some really, really bizarre individual mistakes from the two centre backs, even though just criticised full backs, the two centre backs for me were far worse. Dragovic, for that odd clearance, a lack of interception for the second goal, was just, that was like Sunday league stuff, you know.
Should he have been trying to clear the ball so high up the pitch? I mean, if you had dropped back another 15 yards and you had a midfielder making that mistake, then
But it was weird, because he was, if I remember correctly, He was facing the Leverkusen goal, so he was running back, and he was trying to clear the ball over his head, I think, which is just no position for any defender to be in. Toprak as well, for the Torres goal. I mean, I know the game was probably done by then. He's fallen all over the place. I thought Toprak was dreadful.
He was getting ran right by Fernando Torres. Now, if you're a Dortmund fan and you're looking at that, I think that's a big concern.
Well, I said last night on Twitter, I don't know why Leverkusen signed Dragovic, and I don't know why Dortmund are signing Toprak. And I got a whole load of a stick from Dortmund fans saying, you know, a top rack's decent for the values like that. Yeah, I don't think. I mean, yeah, you know, maybe
but Champions League level.
By this time next season, Dortmund fans, quite rightly, if they want, they can laugh at my face. Top rack was going to be a great player for them, but this season at Leverkusen, he's like dreadful. Yeah. To the extent that I know, like Dortmund have been trying to sign him for at least over a year now. I think by this point, Leverkusen are quite happy to see him go. They missed Ta quite a lot, actually. I think even though Notar's been, he's been far from perfect himself, but I think he still does the basics far better than Dragovic. Well, I've not seen enough of Dragovic, but definitely far more than Toprak.
I do have a lot of sympathy with Leverkusen centre backs, because, like we said, they're just so exposed, you know. And you know, Griezmann had two or three really clear goal scoring situations. I know that the expected goals is only two for Atletico, but it really could have been five or six goals on the night. I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that there is no kind of stability in midfield. Lars Bender being out, I think, was a huge blow, because he normally gives you that.
Well, we talked about Rangers before the show, didn't we?
I thought he had a decent game, actually. I don't think he was
bad.
Yeah, apart from that, I mean,
he could have set off.
Yeah, well, let's say the experienced Germans in the press pack were not too happy at our compatriot, who had probably one of the most bizarre performances I've seen of him, which is saying something. But I thought Aranguiz was solid, won a lot of tackles. Yeah, you're right, he probably could have got sent off. But
the thing I quite enjoyed about that tackle was that Aranguiz was all of a sudden surrounded by like three or four Atletico Madrid players who obviously spoke Spanish, and they were shouting at him in Spanish. And I thought to myself, that's probably the first time in maybe over a year that he's actually had to split for a tackle. Because one of the Germany makes a tackle, mumbles a few words in English or something, then he goes on with it.
You made a good point about Henriks and Bindel being wingers, and obviously that was a colleague, John, who said that as well. And I was talking about this last night on the way back from the ground. I am not sure how Henriks is playing it right back. I mean, there's been at times this year where a lot of people on Twitter have been, you know, see this culture of, oh, it's a young player, so he has to be brilliant, he has to be the next big thing. And with Henriks, I'm still not convinced yet. I've seen him a lot at youth level, under 19s, and he played up front. Now, how can you go from playing as a centre-forward to playing it right back? That, to me, is just so odd. I mean, I guess Schmidt wants his fullbacks to be really dynamic and be able to get up the pitch but also get back.
Yeah.
But there's a huge problem there if one of them is missing out. I mean, if you can't get back into the defensive position quickly enough, it's going to be hard for anyone, and I just think he looks totally out of place at right back.
Yeah, I mean, I think Henriks, I mean, I think this kind of comes back to Schmidt as well, in the sense that, you know, he has his kind of policies, he has his the way he goes about things, and because he's quite a stubborn coach, he stands by them, and I think bringing youth into the team will be a part of that as well. I think he's just as stubborn about players as he is about, really didn't have that good a game either. He stayed on for quite a long time. And I think a coach who's maybe less inclined to trust youth probably would have thought, right, it's not this kid's not having it today. And yeah. and perhaps another coach would have probably thought that about Henriks a long time ago.
But doesn't there come a point though with Leverkusen that for all the things that you mentioned there about Schmidt's good handling of young players, surely there comes a point where results matter now.
Yeah.
And for all we can talk about potential long-term development, I think, again, on nights like this, Leverkusen are lacking tactically. There was almost a feeling last night that Schmidt had taken this team as far as he could. Obviously, they're not going to sack him now because there's still a second leg to go and all that kind of thing, but Schmidt's going to change.
Yeah.
So unless all of a sudden Leverkusen can sign five or six players who can do what he wants, I just don't see where the future of the club is going.
I think one way or another, he's going to do it his way, isn't he? Whether that means they do get into the top four, top six by the end of the season or not.
It's highly unlikely, though. Highly unlikely.
They're going to do it Schmidt's way, and he's going to do it his way until the day they sack him, really.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of coach he is. But, I mean, I think there's also the point to be made that, I mean, I think we were maybe a little too optimistic. Well, we definitely were, because we all thought Leverkusen was going to cause something from this game. I think there's also a simple case that, you know, man for man, Atletico Madrid are probably a much better team than Leverkusen at this point.
I think it's more to do with the collective kind of balance of the team. I mean, the front four, Carrasco, Griezmann, Gamero, and Niguez, I thought they were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
But the effort that they've put in off the ball is just unbelievable. Like, if they lose the ball, God, Simeone is like on the touchline, so animated, and telling his players to get back into position. And I think you made the joke about, oh well, Leverkusen players are allowed to run back if they lose the ball. And that was a huge difference on the night. I don't think Leverkusen necessarily have less quality. I mean, they've got a good side and a lot of good individual players, but I'm not sure that system suits the players they have. And I think if you had a coach,
you think so? See, I kind of disagree. Actually, I think, I don't know, it's weird. I don't think, even though Bellarabi's been one of the better players, I think he's a limited player.
Limited by what standard?
In the sense that that entire front line for Atletico Madrid looked like he could have won a game. I mean, it did to an extent.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, oddly enough, I think Brandt was actually one of the few bright sparks for Leverkusen in front. Like, he was making moves. He didn't really perhaps set up as many chances, but he was still running at the line. I thought Bellarabi had quite a quiet game despite scoring a goal. Chicharito, he had that one chance knocked off the line, fair enough, but again, I thought he was quite quiet. And I think actually, the interesting thing about Chicharito is he's a poacher. But see, when you give him the ball in the box and you ask him to maybe try and jump past one or two tackles and lay off someone else, I think he really struggles at this level, to be honest.
He's a very limited player in that respect.
I think think if you swap Chicharito, it's going to sound so stupid and obvious, but if you swap like Griezmann, Chicharito on that team, it completely changes things, I think. So I think there are certain players, and then Arangues, and again, back to Arangues, you might have thought you had a decent game. I still think the central midfield in that team still misses some genuine quality. Campbell's running around, as I always say, putting out fires, trying to do what he can.
Yeah,
made a really good play for Leverkusen's, well, the Bellarabi goals, so like the first goal. He made a really good, he was in the centre of the park, he was pulling strings. And the thing is that goal came about because for a change he was actually up front. He was like standing on the edge of the Atletico box. So he gets the ball just in front of the D. He looks up and he finds Henriques on the right. He swings the ball in for Bellarabi. That's one of the few times Campbell's actually been allowed to get forward and actually take part in play, because he's usually having to sit back because more often than not, whoever he's playing beside, he doesn't trust. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Baumgartlinger should have started?
Good question. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Possibly, yeah, possibly.
Broaden that. Would you have changed anything about
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said to our colleague Kit Holden of the Daily Mail and BT Sport that I thought they should have gone with a back three, man. That was the obvious thing for me, was that after you go 1-0 down, or after Griezmann has the chance, 1-on-1, I think you've got to change it. And the two fullbacks are not so much of a problem if you have that extra support. And I thought at the end of the game, when Campbell dropped in between the two centre halves to make a kind of back three in possession, I just thought they were much better. I thought they had much more composure in their play. I just thought they had ideas. It kind of worked. Atletico ran out of energy, so they didn't press that area of the pitch in the end. But I think for me, the back three would have given them much more stability. I'm still not sure that either Bender or Baumgartlinger are your typical holding midfielders. They are kind of tough tackling guys who want to go and break up the play, like Arangues. So I don't know how much of a difference it would have made, but it would have definitely given them some stability, which was just lacking. And again, it's the same issues time and time again.
I mean, I keep going back to that first goal, actually, when you had when was it, the first goal or the second goal? I can't remember. The one where Dragovic obviously misses the interception, he completely fluffs the
second,
clearance.
Yeah.
So it then leads to Gamero and Toprak running down 1-on-1, and then for some reason Dragovic runs over to also tackle Gamero, and it leaves Griezmann all alone on the other side. I mean, that's basic defending. I mean, how much of that's Schmidt's fault, and how much is he just looking at those guys saying, you should do better there?
I think that's Schmidt's fault.
You do?
Yeah, well, I mean, Dragovic has been a good defender. He's not a bad player. But if your fullbacks are so high up and you're playing 2-on-2 every time, you're going to get found out. I mean, Atletico were very direct in the way that they wanted to get the ball forward very quickly, and they took advantage of those situations. I mean, the third goal was kind of case in point, that Dragovic was dragged all the way out to the left-hand side, which he really shouldn't be out there. Nutmegs him. Okay, you could argue that it wasn't a penalty if it was just the box. I thought he probably could have given it. It was kind of carried on into the box, so I think the referee's probably right to give it. But I think it was largely down again to the positioning of the fullbacks. But if Schmidt's not going to change it, then something has to give at some point, right?
Okay, let's wrap this up then by asking one final question. How harsh are the onlookers in here? How much is it a case that they just got undone by a better team, or how much is it that, you know, they just didn't do it properly?
I think you can look at it both ways. I think Atletico are a better team, but at the same time, I think Leverkusen should have been aware of what was coming. I mean, I think it was pretty obvious that Atletico, if they played at their best, were going to play in that kind of way. I think you have to look at it, in both senses. I think Schmidt could have done a lot more.
So Leverkusen were bad than Atletico.
Yeah, they were terrible. Leverkusen were terrible. They were absolutely hopeless. And the two goals basically papered over the cracks.
The second goal was exceptionally, we haven't even talked about their own goal, which was just so bizarre.
Out of nowhere.
Yep.
They were extremely lucky. It could have been 4-5-0 to Atletico Madrid on the night, potentially. How do we wrap up Leverkusen's kind of season, summarizing it? Yeah, I mean,
but it's simply reaching the last 16 not enough for Leverkusen. Because I saw John on Twitter last night saying that he thought that this game could come back to haunt Schmidt, and I was kind of a little pessimistic because I don't really think that Leverkusen would expect it to go any further at this stage.
Yeah, but if you lose at this stage so many times, then you have to start thinking about, you know, can we go one step further? And context is important. Leverkusen are, you know, last season, what, the third or fourth? You know, they should be in this stage. They should be, yeah, of course they should be. They've got more resources than anyone in most better teams that they come up against. So they should be the last team.
They should
have. But they're constantly at the bottom, I think. You know, the way they were at the last year in the Europa League was timid, really tame. They should not have got out as easy as they did. And the year before that, they lost really heavily to Barcelona. Okay, that's fine, I get that. But Atletico Madrid,
I mean, the year before
I think,
that, they kept Atletico 1-1 all the way to the penalties.
Yeah, I think this team could do better. And I think at some point you're going to have to start asking questions as to how this team can go forward.
Yeah. I'm sure the board weren't so happy, which would have spent a fortune on making mistakes like
well,
that.
Well, especially
so.
When he doesn't fit the system. I mean, why are you signing players who don't fit your system? It's pretty poor, and it's very unlikely of a cousin because generally their transfers and their kind of management of the squad is very good.
No. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there. Just a tiny bite-sized chat. Make up for maybe listening to podcast last week. So, guys, as ever, you can get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter at Tribune Podcast.
At Tribune Podcast.
And, yeah, we'll see you guys next week.